Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill shares the concern of many politicians and others about this country's obesity problem. She received a lot of attention last week as chair of the Senate Consumer Protection Committee. She posed tough questions to Dr. Oz, the TV celebrity doctor who often promotes quick-fix weight reduction plans. I spoke to her earlier about her concerns in general about an overweight America and what role could or should government play on the obesity issue.
First of all, taxpayers are paying a major part of the tab. If you look at our Medicare program, there is a huge amount of money being spent on diabetes, for example. And this is not the kind of diabetes that is preventable. It is preventable with good nutrition. It's preventable with solid food choices. It's preventable with controlling obesity. And if we could, in fact, decrease diabetes in this country by 20% over the next 20 years, it would wipe out almost all of our deficit going forward, all of our debt, because so much of our expenses is around the healthcare cost of obesity. So government has to be involved because we're paying the bills with taxpayer money.
What sort of things, though, can government do, aside from raise awareness?
Well, I think one of the things we can do is we can make prevention, which we did in the Affordable Health Care Act, make prevention appointments free so that when people go to see their doctor, hopefully they will not be worried about paying the bill for a preventative appointment, which should include discussions about blood pressure and obesity and strategies to get that under control. We can continue to support through our farm programs, the food to market programs that promote farmers markets in urban areas so that people have choices, that they can actually use the government assistance to buy fruits and vegetables as opposed to giant sodas and bags of chips. There's a number of ways that we can impact this problem besides just the very important issue of making sure people are aware that the food choices they're making are going to kill them.
The city, as you know, is launching a campaign to try to deal with the problem here. My figures indicate that one of three St. Louisans is overweight, and many of them are obese. I wonder what kind of a chance the city would have to make a difference.
I think the city has a chance. Other communities that have adopted this strategy as part of their platforms of engagement with their communities, it has worked. Everyone feels better when they're healthier. They're more productive. They're happier. They are better parents. They are better children. They're better students. They're better workers. There really is a whole lot to this notion that everyone needs to be thinking about how much they're moving around. Parking your car far away from the door instead of close, taking the stairs instead of the elevator, encouraging children to play with physical activity as opposed to just in front of a screen. All of that stuff matters, and it's going to matter even more to the next generation because this problem has continually gotten worse over the last 20 years.
You know, I think of the efforts of Mayor Bloomberg in New York, and we're all familiar with those efforts and some of the criticism he received. A lot of people said, hey, this is government overreach. Stay out of my business. If I want to drink a big gulp, doggone it, I'm going to drink it.
Well, I think that there is some I frankly thought that it was a government overreach when he did that. I don't think the way to do this is for the government to set arbitrary rules about what foods you can and can't consume. I think what makes more sense is for us to, hopefully in Missouri, convince the very stubborn and wrong-headed folks in Jefferson City that we need to expand healthcare availability, not contract it in Missouri. The notion that we have an expanded Medicaid, which would allow the preventative appointments that we're going to handle in the emergency rooms and all of us are going to pay for that surround this issue, is really wrongheaded. There's lots of things that government can do, but there's things government shouldn't do. And I think that, frankly, we've got to be careful we don't cross that line, because I do think it's probably unrealistic that government should be telling people what they can and can't consume.
What are some of the other things that government should not do?
Well, I don't think the government, the government shouldn't overregulate so that companies can't employ creative strategies to encourage their employees to be healthier. One of the things we tried to do in the healthcare reform is make sure that individual employers would have the right to encourage their employees by giving them better deals on their health insurance if they were engaged in healthy lifestyle. It's not fair to workers who have the discipline and maintain their health and maintain their weight that they're paying the bills through their health insurance premiums for workers who are choosing to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day or who are choosing to not have physical activity and to eat nothing but really bad food. There is a cost associated with that, and I've got no problem with people having the individual liberty to make those choices. It's just not fair that other people have to pay for them.
You know, one of the things that many people observe, and perhaps you have too, is the fact that overweight is often associated with poverty. Poor people tend to eat the wrong things, and this is a major part of the problem. That can be dealt with in other ways, minimum wage, for instance, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Raising the minimum wage is important. Understanding that cutting food stamps to the point that people can't afford to buy protein or fresh produce, all that does is increase the bills to the government down the line. If all people can do is shop in the middle of the store for things that comes in boxes and bags, it's less expensive, but it is directly contributing to the obesity epidemic in this country. The runaway problem of diabetes and heart conditions that we have in this country, and those bills will be, you know, those chickens come home to roost. Those bills will have to be paid. So making sure that people who are getting help with buying food from the government, making sure they have the capability and the access to healthy foods is very, very important.
Americans seem to a very large degree to be preoccupied with the notion of losing weight. And, of course, you made headlines last week with your committee hearing involving Dr. Oz, in which some of those birds came home to roost with regard to some of the things he was doing. What is your reaction to what transpired that day?
Well, I think it is irresponsible for a doctor of medicine who understands science-based research to tout anything as a miracle pill for weight loss. I think Dr. Oz knows better. I think he's sometimes blurs the line between entertainer and doctor, and I think that's what was going on. And it's unfortunate because there are, millions of Americans who want to weigh less, and they would love a shortcut. They would love a miracle pill. But there isn't one. And I think for a doctor to be touting a miracle pill is really disingenuous and frankly unfair to his listeners. So hopefully we made a point, and hopefully there was more to the hearing than Dr. Oz. It didn't get a lot of coverage, but it was really about the FTC going after fraud and going after scams that are easily perpetrated in this space because people want to believe it's true because it would be so much easier than taking a walk when you get home from work or making sure that you have, you know, at least 2 or 3 vegetables a day. And that's it's just easier to think that there's a pill you could take. So hopefully we exposed that he was not doing the American people a favor by misrepresenting these products. And hopefully we lit a fire under the FTC about going after some of the fraud in this area.
You had to know, though, Senator, going in that with Dr. Oz testifying that was the issue, whatever he said, was going to get the most publicity.
I will tell you honestly, I knew that it would get some attention. I was shocked at the amount of attention it got. It just goes to show you that a celebrity is a big deal in America.
Were you surprised at anything he had to say?
No, I really wasn't. I think he was, frankly, not accustomed to someone challenging him directly because of the nature of his work and in his world. For a lot of good reasons, he has, you know, a tremendous number of adoring fans. He has simplified a lot of complex topics of health for the American people, and he's done a lot of good. This is not a man that doesn't have redeeming value as a doctor who has a very, very large megaphone. And that's why I couldn't understand why he would go there with these weight loss products that don't have any science behind them. It didn't make sense to me. And I think he ended up being fairly apologetic about some of the language he used in association with those products. And I'm willing to bet that you don't see as many miracle pills on Dr. Oz going forward.
Well, it remains, that, of course, remains to be seen, and we shall see. If I may take a personal note here, I think it's well known that you yourself have lost a lot of weight over the last couple of years. I've seen some figures, I won't mention them here, but significant amount of weight. How did you do that?
Well, I did it the old-fashioned way. I dramatically changed my diet, and I began to walk on a treadmill 5 days a week, and I've tried to maintain that. I've kept most of the weight, not all of it off, but I've kept most of it off now for over 2 years, and have permanently changed some of my eating habits. As you get older and your metabolism slows down, you've got to consume less sugar and less carbohydrates, and you've got to make sure you keep moving. And I tried to do those things, and, you know, it worked.
It sounds like that's pretty good advice for any age group.
I think it is, but metabolism is particularly cruel to women once they hit 50. So you really have to pay attention, because even if you haven't changed significantly anything you're doing, you'll notice that you start getting a lot of extra padding as you get older, women do at that age. And so that's when I realized that I kind of let that get out of control. And if I wanted to be healthy and keep up with my 6 grandchildren, soon to be 8 grandchildren, I needed to make sure that I could run a mile without breathing too heavily.
That's Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, who got a little extra exercise after our interview by running off for a Senate vote, as she said she had to leave, unfortunately, before we could talk about some other things that are currently in the news. One of the things we've learned on today's program from both Senator McCaskill and our earlier guests, Dr. Valerie Ratz and Emily Jungheim, along with Randa Herman from Illinois, and Carl Filler of the City Health Department, is the fact that a healthy lifestyle is very, very important to continued health. And we're becoming so healthy, as a matter of fact, that we're living longer. And that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air. We'll talk about why people are living longer and what people should consider to lengthen their life expectancy. But let's all not forget that getting old is not for sissies. There's a lot of baggage that comes along with it. We'll be talking about that tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.